to the Knotcast, episode 147. Cheese Fest! Woo!
Because we are full of cheese.
Yes, we are full of cheese and nonsense and wine and cheese and wine and wine and cheese. Except not wine, because we didn't get any wine.
I'm full of cheese, though, from those cheese fries.
I'm sure we got plenty of wine just to get us wound up.
But I thought you wanted whining.
Jews killed Jesus.
TF2's for casuals.
The Holocaust was fake.
Jews did 9/11. Thought you wanted trolling.
Yeah.
We just pissed off everybody again.
Yay! Controversy. It keeps us going. All right, but so it has been a week. And again, as always, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And Houston has devoured Wrecky Hole.
I'd say Houston has a problem, but no, they've got Wrecky.
Yes. And he's a big problem, I think. No. For Houston, at least. Yeah. Unfortunately, his job's got him in a position where he's just too fucking busy with work-related shit. That dumb fucker killed himself down in Houston and dropped all his workload on the guy.
I don't know if we're supposed to talk about that.
He talked about it on the show.
Did he?
Yeah.
Or did he talk about it before the show? And you just forgot to trim it out.
I don't know.
Yes.
Never mind.
Ricky's coworker did stuff like a tard. Don't kill yourself, kids. It's inconsiderate.
Among other things.
Yeah.
This is actually why, strangely, women are more considerate than men when it comes to suicide. This is why so many women kill themselves in the bathtub. It's because it's easier to clean up.
Really? And
I'm not making a bad joke. That is actual, like, is in some psychology article. Men are more likely to take a shotgun and splatter their brains all over a wall. So a buddy of mine was telling me about the way this guy killed himself.
So, like, if you were, like, this massive asshole, you'd get a, like, push lawnmower that would rotate a wood chipper around, and you just jump in. So it just sprays you everywhere.
It's like a garden spray corps, but there is just your body is everywhere.
Guys!
So, a friend of mine at my old job, when I lived back in Florida, was telling me about, he read about how this guy had killed himself, and he had basically sat down in front of a pure white wall, much like this one, and he'd written something on it in marker, and then he'd put a shotgun in his mouth and blown his brains all over the wall, and what he wrote was, "The best part of me."
Oh, God. That's horrible.
I was like, holy shit.
Welcome to darkness,
and
Cass.
Then he was like, yeah, if I ever quit here, I'm going to do that in the office. And I was just like, fucking warn me, dude, so I can call in sick that day.
Oh, man.
The best part of me. That's how we'll end Knotcast.
Group suicide?
No, I'll just kill myself in front of you.
Oh.
And then it can be like 90 minutes of you guys screaming and calling 911, and then, you know.
Be like, well, that would be a hell of an end to the show.
Let's not do that.
Welcome to episode. Oh my god! The fuck? Ah!
It's like you're going to host a press conference. Go all Bud Dyer.
America! Fuck yeah.
Jesus Christ, this is a terrible intro. You're joking about suicide. We're terrible.
Yes.
Don't kill yourself, kids. It's inconsiderate.
Well, I mean, you know, I can joke about it because I'm still here.
Yep. No. Are you going to hurt that other guy's feelings? Because he's dead!
Hey, you said it, not me.
I know. Don't
kill yourself, kids.
Please don't.
So, in other non-suicide related news, hey, I'm playing picked up a cool game today for like $5. It's called Dungeons of Dreadmoor. It's an old school roguelike in 3D in modern graphics. Well, 1995 graphics. Oh shit. I've put Fuzz into a coma.
Sorry.
It's $5. It's and a if defensive you like mechanism. Little adventure games. It's fun to pick up and play. It's $5 on Steam, on both Mac and PC.
Wasn't there something else like insanely cheap that people could buy lately? It seems like I saw somebody tweeting.
Oh God, it was Steam sale this last week. I picked up Magicka for myself and Tyrion and Tesser and Laugh, and that game, if you don't have like Ventrilo or whatever, is the most rage-inducing thing. We kept blowing each other. Me, Tesser and I played, and we just killed each other over and over. And he was getting so mad at me.
Uh huh.
Because I'd be like, "Lol, fireball," and kill us both.
Oh God! In game news, did you see the new Real ID thing for WoW that they're playing out?
Nope, because I don't play WoW.
Well, I didn't know if Tesser shared it with you. New thing that WoW is doing out. The whole Real ID thing that they're doing out. They're going to let you do 5-mans cross server.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can party up with your friends and do stuff together. It doesn't. You don't have to be on the same server anymore.
Cross server, that's cool. So I always remember seeing people. What server are you on? Oh, I can't play with you. So at least I know that much about WoW.
So us and Sarah can now play, and you know what have you
mm-hmm.
without
that's
having.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought it was,
thought that was going to be like a premium service or whatever they're going to charge for.
Yeah, but they said that. Only the person doing the inviting has to have it, so if you've got a group of friends, you just need one person willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure out of our group, somebody will.
Find the one rich fag in your
group. There's no reason for them to do that. It's just money
it's
grabbing.
It's just more money.
Fucking Kotick.
I saw it, then the first thing is like, cool, I can do stuff with Sarah now because...
Kotick! The CEO of Activision is Bobby... No, the CEO of Activision is Bobby Kotick. He's cartoon villain levels of evil in certain ways. He's very good at making money off the backs of his users. So, much like a drug dealer on the back of his users. So, let's think about that. So what's new in your world, Fuzz? You haven't killed yourself yet?
I haven't killed myself, no. Tomorrow... afternoon, I might want to, though. so tomorrow morning, I'm having a wisdom tooth surgically cut out of my skull. Yay!
Yay!
So this is like the night I like to stay up and don't give a fuck, because I'm off work tomorrow for this, so...
And it's the weekend.
Tyrion's... Well, now it is. I mean, for me, Tyrion's going to be taking me out there at like 10:30 in the morning. They're going to be sedating me, removing the tooth, which is not... It's completely inside my gums.
Yeah, that's how mine were when I got them out.
So they have to do a little slicing and dicing to get them out there. And then I will spend the rest of the weekend fucked up.
Actually, when I had mine out, I was fucked up for like one day, and then I was okay the rest. A little
They're
sore, but not
bad. They're
going to
give me a bottle of pills. I'm going to be fucked up.
Modern pharmacology.
Also, the older you are, when you get it done, the worse it is.
Mm.
It's kind of like getting chicken pox. I got chicken pox when I was 17. Horrible.
Yeah. I had it when I was like 12. Jeez.
Yeah, most people get it when they're like under 10, when they're like 8 and shit. I got it when I was 17. My facial hair was coming in because I was a teenager, so I couldn't shave. So I looked like Jason Voorhees from like the end of Friday the 13th Part 2 because I had like... the half beard and pus and sores all over my face.
No.
I missed 2 weeks of my senior year of high school because of chicken pox.
When anyone in the neighborhood had chicken pox, you know, some kid was out of school with chicken pox, people would take their kids to come play with the kid with chicken pox to try and give them it. It would be like a chicken pox party to try and get it
taken
care of.
Same thing with measles and mumps. It was very common back in the day. And now it's like, oh my God, freak out. Cover your children with antibacterial gel and don't let them out of their bubble. But anyway, so that's what my plan is for the rest of the weekend. Get a tooth removed, get fucked up.
Everything you watch will be either incredibly awesome or terrifying.
So what else is going on for me? Oh, my life has been like never-ending stress lately, but I did get my royalty payments done and my quarterly reporting done for Fur Planet. So hopefully,
the furry artists are happy with you.
Hopefully I've been making some people very happy.
Yeah, if you get your checks, you should cash them. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Outstanding is not good.
I set up a separate account to do the royalties, but the fucking bank hasn't mailed me the checks for them, so I had to write another quarter. I had to do them all off of my primary account.
Ooh,
so next time I should have a separate royalty account. I'll start writing checks and making payments off of that so that I don't get hit with a check. Like, I've had people wait 4 months, I've had people wait 6 months, and all of a sudden it's like, huh, where'd all that money go? Oh shit, so-and-so forgot that they had a check or something. Which, you know, I write it down, but it's hard to keep track sometimes, especially when it's like months later.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have a separate account set up for that.
Other big thing this weekend is anybody who wants to be a dealer at Furry Fiesta, this is the weekend where I open the gates and let you all in. Well, not all, but as many slots as I can. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, noon on Saturday, and I hope this show is out by then.
It should be, yeah.
I'll be registering next year's dealers for Furry Fiesta, and that's always a circus. There's always very, very busy time.
Tyrion will have to take care of that for me, because I'll be fucked up.
Yeah, I've already talked to Tyrion. He'll be on drugs, kids.
Fucked legally fucked up.
So it's,
but yeah,
it's gonna be a busy weekend for me.
What else is new? Nothing. Oh, I've swapped up my cons because I am like 95% positive my mom's surgery will probably be in September sometime. So I figured the one con I am pretty damn sure I'm going to miss is Rainforest, which sucks. Because I was really looking forward to going to Rainforest. But of course, you know, the whole con things are lower on the priority scale than my mom's health.
No kidding.
But the concern is still that Fur Planet still needs to sell at those cons. We still want to be represented and stuff like that. So Tyrion and I have swapped. So now Tyrion is going to Rainforest instead of me. And I am going to Rocky Mountain Fur Con instead of Tyrion. Which, I've never been to Rocky Mountain Fur Con before. The only time I've been in Denver was when I was changing flights in their airport. So that doesn't really count. So I'm actually quite interested to go to this con now, because I've never been there and I've never really seen Denver or much Colorado. Not that I'll see a whole lot outside of the hotel, but
mm-hmm.
I'm quite looking forward to it. It looks like Buck and I are going to drive there in my Cardus with all of the stock. And it's going to be kind of cool because Kyle's a guest of honor, and I know Kyle and Kit. Rukus is the other guest of honor, and I work with Rukus also. So there will be quite a few people there that I know. And some people have spoke up on Twitter and said, oh, cool, I'll be there, which is kind of neat. I might get to meet some folks that I don't get to see at other cons. So, yay. This is also one of the few cons that all the major publishers are at. So, for Planet, Sofa Wolf, and Rabbit Valley, we'll all have tables in the dealer's room. So, if you need some books and comics and you're going to RMFC, excuse me.
Some combinations of letters therein.
Yes, yes. Then, yeah, I will be in the dealer's room there. And, you know, buy me a drink and show me a good time in Denver.
Wine and dine you?
Raise your tail. You know, get on, lay down on the bed. And, you know, and put it in you. You know, more than just a tip. Sorry,
you bypassing the creepy.
I just want to nut a little in your ass. Just a little. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. It'll be all the way.
Okie dokie.
No, I'm not going to the con for the purposes of getting laid. I'm going to sell and
it's like that's just a bonus, right?
That's a bonus. Well, yeah, basically. What? I'm not gonna lie about it. I'm not that slutty, but I'm a little no, not really.
You big ol' hoe.
Hoe bag. I'm not a hoe. It's not my fault that people are like falling down at my feet to be fucked. It's a wolf thing. It happens to us all the time.
They fall on your cock. Oh my god.
Ask any wolf, they'll tell you. Like, twinks are just drawn to us.
Yeah, okay.
Like sluts on a dick. Wait, I meant to say flies to
thing.
Cum. I don't know.
Flies to
flies no. to cum, because cum depending on your diet, can be very sugary.
So we're going to take this show in a completely different direction and go to your email section now.
Like, pony cum tastes like candy. But I wouldn't know that because I don't rule 34 ponies. I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. I feel like I'm already fucked up and I haven't even had a drink.
And that's the thing. It's like I don't have anything on hand that I could give you to get you drunk on the show.
I don't need to be drunk tonight. I'm driving home, but I'll have a drink when I get home. But I can't eat after midnight because tomorrow I'm getting fucked up. That's the plan.
Oh, I thought it was because you're going to turn into a gremlin.
No. The wisdom tooth wouldn't be a problem then. It would probably snap off when I tried to bite some fucker's head off.
Okay, so hey, email time. I'm going to read this one. It's called Casting Knots.
I want to talk more about fucking.
No.
All right, Fuzz, back on stage.
No. God. Okay, so, Casting Knots. Dear Knotcast, since this is an open topic week, I figure I would write into you about House Pets Radio. We're a fan podcast for the webcomic House Pets, authored by Rick Griffin.
House Pets Radio!
Yeah!
We're all about webcomic, yeah!
The reason we write in is that we're new to the cat... The reason we write in is that to the casting scene, we are very green. Not literally, of course, but I do enjoy a random rhyme. Anyways, casters, we lack a certain amount of experience, and since you love to give amazing advice, my cohort and I felt it'd be in our best interest to ask you what you think. We'd be beyond appreciative of a bit of advertising on the show. Just a couple mentions would be more than enough. A mention in the post-show notes would be drooled over, but I'm sure that's asking for too much. It might be. Thanks for the time spent reading my ramblings, and thanks in advance if you choose to help us out. At this point, I just want to say we're both big fans of the show. Please continue to mercilessly cast those knots, and that this doesn't discourage you from eating on air. Yours truly, Brownie the Fox.
Brownie and Fox
from House Pets Radio.
Brownie the Fox.
Brownie the Fox. Hey, you know, foxes come in brown flavor too.
I don't want to know what flavor that is.
Chocolate, baby. Oh, yeah.
There are brown foxes. God, I'm terrible. P.S. Knotcast makes way to MFF sometime in the near future. Don't know about that, bro.
Not happening. I already pretty much know MFF is not down with... They take a more Anthrocon-y approach to adult podcasts. So...
Oh, well. Plus, it's like happen. Way the fuck up there in Chicago.
Yeah, plus I'm the only one that ever goes to MFF, and even yeah. I'm probably not going this year because of lack of time. You've off.
Got family and stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Tyrone will be there selling, but that's not exactly not cast coming.
No.
That's for Planet dealing at MFF.
Really? MFF's not cool with the adult podcast?
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it later off
it's
the air.
It's a damn shame. So, there you go. House Pets Radio. Yay! They didn't give a link. They didn't give a link.
Which will make it difficult to give them a shout out in the show.
I bet if you look House Pets Radio up on iTunes, though.
I was just going to say Google that shit, and yeah. I'm sure you will find it.
Oh, Rizzle. Okay.
So,
your turn, Fuzz.
No, I'm just reading the next one.
Yep.
Okay, no subject. Hey, guys, it's been a while since I last wrote in. I was wondering if you could give me some advice. I'm 18 years old, and I have been lucky enough to have my first job to be my dream job. I love working, and I get along with my coworkers until a week ago. Let's call this guy crazy motherfucking asshole. He is a stereotypical old guy that doesn't like new things, like new technology, and he thinks that since I'm young, I am inexperienced, when I have 3 years of experience working in a garage. Unfortunately for me, I'm working in a hospital, and we are performing surgery. Okay, no. He likes to tease and make fun of me. I could take a joke to a certain point. Today was the last straw. Even though I work there, I am still an apprentice, and I need advice sometimes when dealing with things I don't have any knowledge on. So today I asked him simply, can you give me a hand, please? To which he plainly replied, fuck off. I was shocked, and at first I thought it was a joke until he threatened to punch me if I didn't go away. At this point, I'd like to say I am a boxer and have been for 6 years. I simply told him if he hit me, I would think twice about defending myself with he probably means wouldn't think twice about defending myself. With that, he ran straight to my boss and reported me. Skip to the end of the day, I get a warning for threatening my coworker. So this is what I need advice on. What do I do? He is the only other body paneler there, and I don't have much of a voice at work since I've only been there. This thing is written all wibbly wobbly. Since I've been there for only a few weeks and I'm still just an apprentice, I'm sorry if I have missed any punctuation or if my spelling is fucked up. I'm really pissed, so I'm not paying much attention to what I'm writing. Yeah. If you put this letter on the show, thanks, you guys, and I hope to hear either advice or a simple fuck you and grit your teeth.
You should have gone to HR without saying anything further. That old curmudgeon is being a fucktard, but he's been there longer and has seniority.
Okay, I'm going to assume that he is not working for a giant corporation like I am.
Yeah.
Let's say he's working for
a one-shot
mom-and-pop garage, and HR is literally, like, the owner's wife with the cigarette dangling out of one side of her mouth and the chewing tobacco in the other side. And she's like, what the fuck's your problem?
Yeah.
That's kind of, I'm assuming that as a garage, it's not a national chain. I mean, if it's a national chain, if it's like National Tire and Battery or something like that.
Well, it's like if you're a body paneler, I mean, that's not something a lot of most, like, body shops do it. I don't know if there's like national body shop chains. I don't know.
I'm assuming that it's not a national chain that he can, because that's the easy answer. If it is a national chain, call the fucking hotline, complain about this guy, but it will still, even though it's all anonymous, it will still come back to you locally because they know you have a problem with this particular dude.
He was baiting you. It basically comes down to he was baiting you. He's looking to get a rise. When he did, he tattled, and he got what he wanted. It may have to be grit your teeth and bear it, and deal with it as it comes. But do not ever, ever, ever offer any kind of response like that because that sets you up for just what he did.
Don't throw the first punch.
Well, he did. He basically threw the second verbal punch, but just don't respond at all.
I'm saying do not physically punch this guy no matter what he says.
Yeah.
And if it comes down to it, sure, defend yourself. But right now, I mean, I'm thinking the kind of environment that's in, that there's not a lot you can really do except grin and bear it and maybe come to an understanding with this guy, Talk shit back to him or something.
Well, he did talk shit and got him in trouble.
Well,
so,
I don't know. I don't think there's like a chain of command he can complain to. And, a lot of like independent shops like that is going to be kind of old boys network.
Yes. I was going to insert the you've been trolled, you should probably just fold. But I can't find the lyrics anywhere.
I don't know.
It's a silly song, but yeah, sorry, bro.
What it came down to, he did the real life version of trolling and got you in trouble. And just don't fall for it again.
Because, if it's your dream job, don't get your ass fired.
So, let's see.
It'll be your turn, Shiva, on the subject of animation.
Dear Notcast, two things. First, on the topic of potentially doing a super podcast with a bunch of the other awesome professional podcasters, all I can say is this. And it's an insert of Rarity going, please, 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 please. Secondly, on the animation topic, I've got a great example of this seemed awesome when I was young movie. Please, please, please. When I was a little filly-er kid, I loved the animation masterpiece, The Adventures of the American Rabbit. And he links, or she.
IMDb.
Linked it on IMDb. Don't be fooled at 6 out of 10 stars. It's likely to be upvoted by nostalgic folks like myself who remember it as a pinnacle of animation it never was. This movie was the best thing ever made to me as a kid, and I think I wore out the tape watching it so much. I have a strong suspicion that it's responsible for my rabbit affiliation today. I was able to briefly relive my childhood when I rented on Netflix. It almost made me want to call my parents and apologize for what I must have put them through. From gaping plot holes to villains with nonsensical motives, the movie really had no idea what it was trying to accomplish. I still have a soft spot in my heart for the film, especially for Bunny DeHare, and I recommend it to any furs out there who are looking for an overly patriotic B-movie riff on what on with a group for an overly patriotic B-movie to riff on with a group of friends. Sincerely, Lansing.
Yes. This is the synopsis. Rob Rabbit is a mild-mannered rabbit with a great destiny. Whenever there is trouble, all he has to do is sprint to change into the star-spangled superhero. Moving to the big city, he finds a job as a piano player in a nightclub that is being harassed by a gang of jackals and their protection racket. Going on tour to raise money to oppose them, they are continually threatened by the gang. Against this, the American Rabbit must use all his powers to protect them and stop the forces of evil!
How does the animation look? I didn't even look.
It looks like you're sort of a generic 80s...
anime?
Animation. No.
American Rabbit.
The ears, the bunnies have these tumors on their heads.
Okay, so here's the picture I was looking for. So Neff drew a picture of American Rabbit for the 4th of July with a little more anatomy than...
Really?
He wears, like, apparently the character has, like, a spandex outfit, so it's, like, a bulge, basically. Severn.
Why?
Because he felt like it, I guess. I don't know.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
You're doomed.
Okay, so, hey, next email. How about that? Yeah. God.
What?
Furries.
Please.
Okay, so hello again from a dude with a fantastic name. Dear Notcast, this your South African bunny Onagrift here. I just wanted to let you know I've nearly caught up with all your episodes. Right now I'm in the 70s and have been loving every second of hearing you all talk about everything furry and in between. I would just like to thank you also very much for taking the time out of your busy lives to get together and catch up with each other. Having been brought up in the Dark Continent, sadly, I've been devoid of anything furry-related in the IRL persuasion, and you've been one of the closest things to a window inside the fandom that I know of. You'll be happy to know, however, that I recently was able to get a Canadian work visa, and I'm currently living in Vancouver. I've met some wonderfully nice people here, and it's been nothing but amazing experience from the get-go. I've experienced snow for the first time and scampered about in it like a kid in Christmas. Everything is so different here. Well, for me, I guess. Something as simple as snow really fascinates me because I'd only ever seen it on television.
I could see that.
No, that's cool.
Anyways, to the meat of the email, here I am for all intents and purposes, Twink Bunny. I'm only 5'5 and weigh 135. As you can imagine, strong winds make me nervous. I have a work uniform that's meant for girls, well, the pants are, as I work in housekeeping. And I still have to wear a belt. The problem is I am painfully shy. I feel I might have a slight phobia of physical contact, i.e. hugging, touching, and the like. Now, this can, of course, give off very mixed signals to anyone who is trying to get close to me. I tense up and start to shake, and this makes the other person feel he's doing something wrong, and it kills the mood very quickly between us. However, I have been taking steps in building my self-confidence. With my physique, it was suggested to me that I use feminine products like body hair remover, not that I have an extensive amount, mind you, but it was a full-body application. I won't lie to you, it made me feel exceptionally sexy and did help boost my self-confidence a little when I showed them a want-to-play Metal Storm Online. Okay, apparently he was trying to copy-paste something mid-email. Want to show them a want-to-play Metal Storm Online? TM? Question mark picture of myself. After they said I had shown them a rear shot of a girl. Ah, bunny butts. I am also highly submissive. This also brings in my concerns, me being so nervous to be touched by people. What could you suggest are the best steps in easing myself into being physically touched by someone else and not turning into a nervous wreck? I've been staying with some very generous furs who've allowed me to stay with them till I get on my 2 feet. One of them I think you know is named Hammy Toy. I pay my dues by keeping their apartment clean and cooking for them, as well as my fair share in rent. I really love doing this, and I guess it's sort of my submissive tendencies coming out wanting to please as I'm helpful as I can be after their work hours. Thank you again for your time, and any advice about my phobia on the best steps on beating it would be much appreciated. Onagrift. P.S. I think you all have sexy voices.
Well, if he's from South Africa, that means that he's got a cool accent all his own, so... South African. Can't do it right.
Zap used to be able to do the his version of a South African accent.
So, touching.
I can't offer advice. I'm too busy masturbating to his description.
I think it's just going to have to come with time. First tend to be a touchy...
Oh, he'll come with time. I'm sorry.
I'll stop. Yes. He just needs somebody to love him.
Sorry, my derp counter is like high tonight.
Yes. You know, you're looking in two directions. The next thing you know, you're going to empty my fridge.
Now, the thing is when...
I'll explain later.
When somebody's touching you, what's going through your mind? Are you worried about how you look? Are you worried about what they're thinking? What is going through your head when the anxiety attack hits? Because that's what it sounds like what you're having, a full-on anxiety attack. So it's partially looking in yourself and trying to find out what the trigger is. Once you know what the trigger is, you can start addressing those concerns. You know, if you're worried about your body, then you can... it looks like you've already started doing things that make you feel more confident. If you're worried about what's going on through their head, that can just be a matter of sitting back, taking a deep breath, and, you know, just trying to relax, for lack of a better term. But it's trying to figure out your triggers and what it is that's setting you off, and then you can start picking it apart.
The other thing I'd recommend is actually, because he was saying that it can send off mixed signals for people trying to get close to him, and it can kill the mood. In order to avoid that entirely, I would talk to the person that you're interested in possibly being intimate with about this first, and explain to them what your issue is. And it might be a little embarrassing at first, but... at least then the other person, you know, the saying forewarned is forearmed. At least the other person kind of knows what's going on. And that they have, if at some point they have to kind of slow down, back off, and then move forward again slower, they'll kind of know to sort of work with you through that. Where it won't just be to, like, don't say anything and then... you freak out and it kills the mood and they're left confused and thinking that it was something that they did.
It's also sometimes, okay, you're in a situation, you notice, it's nice, you start noticing that you're getting a little bit freaked out, and then you start worrying that, oh my God, I'm freaking out, which amps it up, and then you're freaking out about freaking out, and it just becomes a ever... expanding anxiety stack, and you end up kind of short-circuiting yourself. It may take time to just kind of I would almost call it meditation, and I don't mean like I mean actually sit down, imagine somebody touching you, and not even sexually, but you know, kind of put yourself in that mental frame of mind and think on it, and then kind of frame it in your mind and learn how to deal with it. And if you can have a good friend who you can work on things with, whether it's just touching your shoulders, you know, rubbing your back, and when it becomes, I can't stop, I can't, and just having them say, okay, go take a deep breath and then try another session. Some people do have a serious amount of physical contact phobia, and it can take time to work through these fears. It's nothing to be scared of, but you could really use someone who can work with you and just do sessions where you're feeling and maybe see about working through some of these anxieties. So.
Anything to add, Sarah?
Nope, that's pretty good. She got it covered.
Sorry.
Oh, I didn't get it covered? What the fuck?
You both got it covered! God.
Okay.
I'm gonna you know, screw you guys. I'm going to do my own podcast. It'll have blackjack, hookers, ponies.
Try to forget them.
Everything. Forget the blackjack and hookers. Let me about ponies.
Well, everybody needs their fix of something.
Look at all the fucks you give. I see. You have 10,000 fucks in one pocket and 10,000 shits in the other, and you shall give me none of them.
Nice.
Oh my god.
So there you go.
That's a horrible mental image, because it's like one pocket full of spooge and one pocket full of poop, and you know.
To the point, what I've said has made Panther come forth from the lair
and go, what the fuck is wrong with you?
If only we were a video cast, you could see the distraught look of what the fuck on his face. So, hey, Fuzz, how about you read an email?
Didn't Shiva just read that one?
I read the Onagrift email.
Did you?
Yes.
My bad, dog. So it's
you an email, and then her email, then we're going to go to a break.
You an email, her an email, everywhere an email. All make not cast. Fuck this guy. Ow, ow, oh god, it's too big.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Oh.
Oh my. 7 to K. Okay, which one do I want to read?
The one from the hot guy.
But I'm not going to read the ones I forwarded yet.
There we go. Hey, kids, it's the return of the Notcast cane.
Let me borrow the Notcast cane. I need to hit Fuzz.
Live on air. Thank you for not hitting me in the shoulder I slept wrong on, dear.
I thought you were trying to figure out some complicated knighting method or something.
It's been a while since we've said something. If he was really mad, he'd
hit me in the right shoulder because I'd slept wrong.
Oh, it's okay.
It's been a while since you said something enough to drive Panther out to beat you.
10,000 and 10,000 and I shall give you none. So, shoot.
Keep all these
go back into your lair.
He'll kill you with his pen. We have no hand puppets.
Read an email before we ruin the show forever.
Open topic weekend of the future. Dearest Notcast, hello again from your coastal cat companion. I'm writing this week to ask, how in hell do I date someone? Brief history. I've dated plenty of women and even a few guys in high school. I'm 23 and not an unattractive guy. Pick attached for your opinion.
He's not bad. Definitely not hard on the eyes.
Hardmer. Problem. I use dating sites because I don't get out much and because I don't really notice town. Houston. The few women I meet are either crazy, too emotionally damaged for a derp like me to properly handle it, or unable to commit. I'm looking for a relationship with marriage potential. Solution? I beseech you, O lords, token ladies, and token minorities, got any suggestions? Yours truly, Marque, Cat of the Coast.
Well... Well, I do know that there are at least some nice local furs down in Houston. I don't know if you know the crowd, but I've met some of them, and they're usually pretty nice.
Chicks are crazy. You should date dudes.
Well, there is that. partially, it's spread yourself around, because it's kind of...
Let's see...
What are you staring at me for?
Nothing.
He's making faces. It is, trying to find someone to date can be a little bit headache-inducing. Especially if, like you say, you can't get out all that much.
Oh, Shiva, your words are so L-shaped.
Well, I'm awkward, so they're awkward. Yeah. I'm so awkward, go ahead.
I was just teasing you, but your best bet, I mean, you're in Houston, there are a lot of furs down there, but I'm gonna say probably not enough chicks for you to find one that's not crazy. That is not saying that all the chicks in Houston are crazy, if there's Houston furs listening.
Yes, it is.
No, it's full of wrecking.
That's Fuzz saying it, not me.
I am Saverin's internal monologue. I am Saverin's impotent rage.
And despite all of it, I am still trapped in a cage.
Oh, nice. You may continue.
I don't know, Panther's typing something, which is...
The rest of the lyrics to that song.
Yes, like that. And...
despite all my rage, I'm Panther still is saying,
there's at least one crazy dude in Houston you should probably avoid, and I don't have to say his name.
No bitterness there at all.
Unless you encounter him on the freeway, which then you can encounter him with your car. Save us all some trouble. But how do you date somebody? You ask them. You get to know them. You say, hey, I like you. Can I stick my penis in your vagina and wiggle it around until I come and make babies?
You're just breaking.
I actually missed part of that. I was like, wait, what are you... what?
You know, turn 23 degrees, engage rotor. You know.
He's saying this so normal, and so Fuzz is blocking him out, and then he realizes that...
A woman let me put my penis inside of her.
If you're really having that hard of a time, you might want to look to other areas. You know, try to meet people down in Galveston. Try to meet people maybe in Austin or San Antonio. There's chicks in Dallas.
In theory.
I hear. There may or may not be females in Dallas that are of the furry persuasion. Maybe. Just putting it out there. You know, you don't have to quite limit yourself to just one area if you're not opposed to long-distance relationships.
Or a little bit of travel.
Best bet, as we always say, you know, get to know somebody and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, try for friendship first. After friendship, you generally figure out if they're crazy or not. After
friendship comes friendship with benefits.
And that involves penis and vagina. Just so you know. Yes.
Or if they're really kinky, in the butt.
Or if they're Christian and trying to remain pure, in the butt.
Yes. Remember, kids, you know, butt sex doesn't count.
Neither do blowjobs.
That's right.
Or if they're a guy, in the butt.
Because they don't have a vagina.
Yeah. What a fucked up.
I saw a tweet.
I'm sorry that we have destroyed your email, Marque.
I saw a tweet.
We're terrible.
Earlier today that was like, it's so disgusting when guys spit on their hand for lube. Your bottom has a mouth for a reason.
What? What?
God.
So, did you want to break or go on? Or
I'm
what?
Already Wait. Broken. We don't need to break.
So, that was it. There's 6 emails left. So, we're going to go to break. Oh, my God. And get some of this silliness out of our system before we come back. Okay? Okay.
Okay.
There's going to be a song, and I don't know what it's going to be. I'll tell you after the break.
Yay!
Yay! We'll be right back. And we're back. If your face is not melted Shady's yet,
back.
That was back The Crusade Begins by Kisuke. And now, for this week's horrible item of debauchery. Take it away, Fuzz.
What a dick.
Oh my god.
That's the name of a DVD on AdamandEve.com, our sponsor. So they have a whole section of gay adult movies, which, it's cute, which may be of interest to most of our audience, most likely. 3.5 hours of mega hung hunks on each other. When a horny stud gets dared to take a 10-inch dick, he calls horse-hung afro-hunk Johnny Long to prove him wrong. Exotic Eric Estrada and Rico Furtado turn up the gay Latin heat. No words needed when buff bad boys meet up in the gym for a workout with fast anal penetrations, long uncut cocks, and nut-busting climaxes. Plus 2 glory hole scenes you'll have to see to believe! 210 minutes of massive cocks. $24.95. But if you use our coupon code, what is it, Severn?
That's not K-N-O-T.
Thank you, you Fennec slut. You will save 50% off, plus free domestic shipping, a free gift, and 3 free fuck tapes. AdamandEve.com. Order now!
Yay! Okay, so back into the stuff. Okay, so who read the last email? That was Shiva, or was it me?
It was you, I thought.
Really?
I thought it was Fuzz.
No.
We are so coordinated. So, Fuzz, just start out.
Okay. Okay, so I actually had a couple of announcements, and our little break time here seems like a good time to do that.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah. Sorry. I'll stop now. Okay, first of all, you may be familiar with Bad Dog Books' non-adult anthology series, Roar. And right now, Roar is seeking submissions for Volume 4 in the series. The theme of the anthology is celebrity. So write a non-adult furry story around the theme of celebrity, and you email it in, and I've got the submission email address here, and shit, I hit the wrong button, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the editor for Roar is Buck Turner. His email address is buckcturner@baddogbooks.com. And we are still looking for submissions for Roar Volume 4. So just putting a shout out there.
Do you know when they're closing it down?
No, I don't. I think the submission deadline was extended. It was originally the end of July. That may have been pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
Any detailed questions, I'd ask. I'd email Buck. And there's also, you can go to baddogbooks.com. There's some info on their website. And I believe they also occasionally discuss it on the Bad Dog Books book club.
Mm-hmm.
But we're coming up a little short on submission, so I just wanted to put the shout out there on that.
Okay.
Now, the second thing I'm going to discuss, and then I'll stop the shameless pimping, is a friend of the show, Al Floor. He's an otter, so he's slippery and webby and all that. Anyway, he's
slinky.
Yeah, slinky. Whatever. He's putting out a book. He's actually releasing it tonight. So this will be up and ready to go by the time the show is posted. He's releasing, it's called Streets of His City and Other Stories. So it's a collection of 2 novellas and a short story. He's going to have it available on the Kindle, the Nook, and online at Smashwords.com. And on Smashwords, you can download it in a bunch of different formats. He has links to order it on his website, which is just alflor.com. That's alflor.com. Saverin, can you put that in the show notes for the
Alrighty.
Week?
Alrighty.
And he just wanted to basically throwing it out there. Furry author, new book available.
Hmm.
Like I said, 2 novellas and a short story. So go check it out. You know, check out his website. And I don't know if he has, like, writing samples or anything like that on there. The nice thing about Kindle and such is that you can actually download a sample of the book before you buy it as well. So you can totally check it out. And yeah, I'm on his website now. Looks like he's got some stuff up there. He actually did a story that was very good. The only one of his I'm familiar with at the moment is called Stasis. It's actually on an episode of the Bad Dog Books book club, which I just mentioned. And it's read on there as an audiobook, and they discuss it. And I forget which episode that is, but it turned out really well. It was a very interesting story. So that's all the things that I've got to throw out there. I was making a list of, like, there's like a bunch of stuff I had to remember last week, and I completely forgot. So I made myself a list this week.
That's cool.
So we can go on to another email then. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to archive my notes here. You want me to go ahead and read this one?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right. Breaking the news to a parent. Need advice. Hey, Fox Stuffers. Elyon again, the gray wolf from Kentucky. You may remember me from way back, episode 48, I believe it was, as the dragon who wrote in about my far long distance mate, Ty. Well, I know it's a very late response back, but I ended up taking your advice and we are now just friends. Still very good ones, thankfully. Anyway, on to the topic at hand. I am now in a very wonderful relationship with who may very well be the love of my life. It is still somewhat long distance, but not by very much, with me in Kentucky and him in Tennessee.
That's not too bad.
We have met multiple times now and love each other very much. He has even stayed at my house before for a weekend. My family has all met him as well and say he is a really great guy. But the thing is, they all think he is simply a friend to me. I'm wanting to get everything off my chest to my mother and explain that he is my boyfriend so that she can stop nagging me about finding a girlfriend and I can move on with my life, but I'm not exactly sure how. This advice will also go to my mate because he is in the very same situation. I have yet to meet his parents, but that is going to change at the end of this month. I'm going down to see him and staying at his house. Now here is the big thing. Both of our families are fairly religious, and not only are we a gay couple, but also interracial. He is black, I'm white. I'm not entirely sure how everyone will react to this. I mean, my family has never shown any problem towards black people, but none of my family members has ever been in a relationship with one either. So this is something that I'm very hesitant to get out there, but I also feel it necessary so we can all move on with our lives. A wolf in dire need of help, Elyon.
Okay, he doesn't say how old he is. So that might be some interesting information to know, because that would give us more of an idea of what stage you are in your life. What will happen if shit goes wrong? If one of your family reacts badly and they have to leave, what's going to happen? What happens if they both react badly? Do you guys have a backup plan for consolidating your lives together? Do you have friends that you can go stay with? Start making contingency plans. It's sad, but sometimes families need space to digest the new situation. And sometimes after a while, living apart and coming around to it, they will eventually deal with it better. So.
And this is one of those emails where you get it and you just go, oh, God, this. It's one of those things that feels almost doomed, and I don't want to say that really, but it's like, okay, interracial, gay couple, Kentucky, Tennessee. Oh shit, what are you doing? You know, it's one of those things where you have a region of the country that has very strong stereotypes that lives up to them daily. And you have the religious parents angle and all this other stuff and all the delightful racism still inherent in that region of the country.
I'm actually a little less concerned about the racism on his side of the family because his family knows that they're friends and he's stayed a weekend at their house. So if they've had a black guy stay at their house for the weekend, I don't. And he says he doesn't think they have a problem with black people. I don't think that would be as much of an issue as the gay part.
But then again, this is them interacting as far as the parents know, friends, and not, you know, as anything more.
I've been around racist families. They don't even want their kids having friends of other races, and certainly wouldn't let someone of another race stay at the house for a weekend.
Yeah.
So my primary concern is mostly with the gay relationship and their families being religious. And unfortunately, he didn't give any indication on, I'm assuming Christian, but what flavor of Christianity? Because it really depends. I mean, and what's their church like? Is it very fire and brimstone? Is it frequently homophobic? Gays are going to hell. I mean, I'm sure he knows there's their beliefs. We kind of don't really know that.
Unfortunately, in this case, there's a lot of variables that we don't have the data on.
Yeah,
and it basically comes down to cover your ass.
Yeah, basically, our general advice is that if you're dependent upon them, don't come out unless absolutely forced to, because it could be your ass on the street.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to do that, that's great. Just be ready to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You guys both need a backup plan. And, you know, you're in love. It's not too long distance. If it's feasible, you might look into getting a place together somewhere. Or maybe even getting out first and then coming out, so you can avoid all that unpleasantness.
And I would do it one at a time. Pick one of you to go first, make that leap, see how the parents take it, and then once that's stable and you think you got a handle on that situation, then the other person. So you aren't both in flux at the same time. You know, if you say first and shit goes to hell, maybe you can move down into his area. Vice versa. Just kind of do it in stages and do it careful.
Yep. So, on to the next email? Or?
Yep.
Okay. Shiva?
Yep. LDRs aren't always a bad thing. Smiley face. Hey, Notcasters. Working my way through an epic backlog of podcasts you guys have had up. I know I should probably do every fifth one or so instead of every single one, but you guys have yet to fail to make me lull during a cast, so I'm damn well going to listen to them all. Fair enough. It's an open topic week, so I thought I'd share my personal experience of the long-distance relationship with you, having listened to the tales of other people's that you've read out. Apologies if it's a little wall of text, blah, blah, blah. I knew I was furry for a long time, pretty much since puberty hit, although I didn't know at the time that's what it's called. Simply put, I watched the movie Space Jam, saw Lola Bunny, and my hormone-fueled teenage mind did the rest. I found out I was gay not long after, as I was looking at some porn on the interwebs, as one does, and realized that in all the rest of the porn I watched, it was the guy's crotch I was far more interested in, and the woman's position I was picturing myself in. I got my hands on a 10-pound vibrator, and that's pound as in money, not pound as in that's how much the vibrator weighs. And some move from the back shelves of an Ann Summers, hooray for looking older than I was at the time, discovered how much fun I could be.
It could be. I'm sure someone else will discover how much fun he can be.
Skip ahead to a few years to my discovery of the furry chat room, which shall be remain unnamed for the sake of anonymity. I can't say that word.
Anonymity.
That one. I'm L-shaped. I thoroughly indulged myself in the wonderful world of YIF, and let's just say that it's a good thing it was digital, or I probably would have caught who knows what from a number of furs I YIFed and got YIFified over the next few months. One fur in particular. One fur in particular was a favorite, however, and we became quick friends, and not long after that, mates. I knew when I agreed to be his mate that he lived in the USA, while I lived in the UK. It wouldn't be cheap for us to see each other, if and when we wanted to. But these things rarely make a difference when you're that strongly attached to someone, at least not at first anyway. We were mates for some months, and on his request, had a close relationship both on and offline.
Fuck that. Sorry, don't mean to interject my own opinion in there.
It wasn't exactly easy, but we entertained each other with a few webcam chats, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh my.
When we were horny enough, and through my job, I started saving up to go to see him. When I finally saved up enough, he broke up with me. Oh, yeah, it made about that much sense to me, too. Apparently, an LDR was too much for him to handle, though why he waited till then to say it, I don't know to this day. Needless to say, I was devastated and complete emotional wreck for a few days. This trip still went ahead, albeit as friends rather than mates and stuff, protected stuff, don't panic, did happen while I was over there, but we remained friends and nothing more. When word got around the chat room that he and I broke up, one of his other friends on there, who I've chatted with from time to time, started chatting to me more and make sure I was okay and generally be friendly. I certainly didn't refuse his help, and we became closer friends, finding we had common interests in gaming, reading, and life in general. It was the pick-me-up I needed after 8 or 9 months of my life had come crashing down around me. As youngish furries do, we yip from time to time because, hey, everybody's got a fat sometime. Let's see. The months went by, I got over my ex, and about 5 months down the line, I realized I was becoming attracted to my new friend. I didn't say anything at first, in case it was just a rebound crush. I didn't want to hurt his feelings or get myself depressed again. But a few more months went by, and feelings only got stronger. We made plans to meet up as friends. He lived in Scotland, much closer to me. And being the kind of person who'd been banking his pocket money since the day he started getting it, he had more than enough spare cash lying around to afford a coach trip down the country. He arrived at the local coach station. My mum drove me over to pick him up. We brought him home and retreated to my room. Not for anything risque, but like any teenager, that's where my console, PC, and tiny personal television that my dad had bought me, so I stopped hogging the main one in the lounge. With butterflies in my stomach and my nerves twanging, I worked up the courage and asked him to be my mate. He looked at me for a moment, blushed in the cutest manner I've ever seen, and said yes. Needless to say, I was overjoyed, tackled, hugged him to the bed, and we lay there snuggling and smooching for what turned out to be almost an hour. The week went by far too quickly, and he had to go home, but we were already making plans for him to come visit again. And he did, a few more times, without going into too much detail. Both following visits were even more fun still. Later in the next year, I was making plans to go to university. He had no such plans himself, so rather than suffer student accommodation and people I didn't know, I asked if he'd be willing to rent a flat with me in the uni town, in the town where my uni was located. He agreed, we moved in together 2 weeks before university started, and 4 years later, I've graduated, we're still together, and we're also engaged. Or whatever the homosexual version is called. I don't really care. It's the meaning that matters. So yeah, there you go. Long-distance relationships don't always end badly. In my case, one ended badly, and it opened up a whole other one that turned out to be the best 5 years of my life. Peace out, not crew. Anonymous Pokifer. That's a good story.
There you go. Yes,
indeed.
Yay for happy endings. Or happy middle of the story.
Yes. Happy beginnings. Yay.
Well, 5 years.
All right. So, go back around and read another one of those story emails.
Okay.
Those are great. Fin for fun.
Fin for fun.
So, yeah. Hello again, Naughty Not Nommers crew. Anonymous Wolf from Finland, filling your inbox with off-topic words yet again. So I decided to take heed of your advice and go to the Finfur summer camp, not worrying so much about camping outdoors and telling the general truth to my parents without emphasizing the shared interest. I also got to know some awesome furs beforehand through IRC and Finfur forums. Your advice was truly helpful, and it was strange hearing my email read aloud on the show. A few days before FFSC, I got a text message from one of the organizers asking me whether I'd like to change from camping in a tent to a shared cottage room. I accepted immediately, grinning from ear to ear. My biggest worry of camping in a tent just solved itself. Yay! Finally, the stifling hot day of departure came. My bags were packed with dry food, some clothing, and basic hygiene items. I rode off to FFSC in a carpool with two other furs I had never met before. They were great company. We had good conversations, especially on the return trip, when I wasn't so tied up with my shyness. We stopped to buy food and basic supplies just before we got to the camp, so no need for dried food now that we had meat, fruits, and other goodies. We arrived at the camp, and boy was the weather hot. I felt a bit shy at first, so I went exploring the area after registration. The summer camp had about 13 cottages situated in the middle of a forest right next to a beautiful lake. Nearby, there was an awesome stone hill that had a dead drop about 10 meters. I was totally awed by it. Also, there was loads of woodland, strawberries growing on the hill. All in all, the area is really beautiful. Finnish nature at its best. Really hot during the night. It's kind of redacting a little bit. At first, listened to a couple conversations, joining in every now and then. Socializing was easier for me when I had something to focus on, like a board game. A couple of super awesome furs had brought a bunch of games to the camp. Games like Quarto, Pentago, Cheese, Chess, Carcassonne, Galaxy Trucker, Go. I got hooked on that one. Yes, cheese. Cheese, the board game. It's like chess, but you eat the pieces after you get them.
Cheese, oh, it hates self.
I got hooked on that one and some other activities. We also played a game called Werewolf.
Oh, yep. I've played that. That can be fun.
You can skip the description.
It was awesome meeting the first from ICR and other forums. Everyone was really nice and open-minded. We talked, hugged, or shook hands, and everyone enjoyed everyone's company. There was one friend who offered chili around. I took a small piece of it, and boy, did it burn. After effects of the chili were quite fun, though. It was a nice, burningly tingly feeling that was somewhat numbed. This was my first time seeing fursuiters. I marvel at how they managed to be in a fursuit when the sun was blazing and the temperature was around 30 degrees Celsius. There was even a small fursuit theater show at summer camp. It was quite different from any theater I've seen, but fun all the same. To my understanding, it was made by four furries, three of whom were suitors, plus one of them in charge of the music. That was probably Bitter Lake, actually. So, that's kind of interesting. One night there was a disco that had a neat background video with furs from Second Life and other places projected on the walls. The music was nice and diverse. It was just fun going and being myself. All good things must come to an end. It was a bit sad the summer camp was so short and the time flew so fast. However, I got many good experience memories and got to meet a load of awesome people. I hope to go to the camp next year and maybe a meet or a con. Anyhow, here's some numbers, statistics, and stuff to accompany the email. There were four organizers, some helper furs, and about 55 attendees. The camp was 3 days long, and the registration cost is 30 to 50 euro. Apart from the awesome company, you get a roof atop your head and bed to sleep in, and a sauna and swimming possibilities, an awesome nature scenery, some grilled meat and potatoes, morning coffee, tea, and small snacks, and an awesome disco with multiple DJs. So it really sounds a lot like Oklacon, except Finland, so Finlacon. It's the awesome attendees and organizers that really made the summer camp a success. I'd like to give a big shout out to all the organizers and contributing furs for making the camp possible. Hope to see more in the future. An anonymous wolf from Finland. Cool.
I'm glad you got to go.
I'm glad it worked out.
He has a link to the site in Google Translate so I can
cool.
read it.
Yay. Yeah, Finland. So 30 degrees Celsius.
That's like 300 degrees Fahrenheit.
In space temperature.
Well, I know 40 is about 110 roundabout Fahrenheit. So
why don't I just look?
Convert!
I'm going to read the next email.
Yes, read an email.
Bisexual Bronies. The new adult DVD from AdamandEve.com. No.
So, that's 86 degrees.
86 degrees? Okay.
But then again, they're in Finland. That's really far north.
Yeah,
that's really hot for Finland.
It's like 86 here is like, whew, better put on a light jacket. But up there, they're like, oh my God. 86
down here is balmy and beautiful.
It's been fucking 100 or over for how long now? Like three weeks straight?
We are...
So, it's been about 36... No, probably closer to 38.
Dear Notcasters, I enjoy your show and I've been meaning to write to you for some time. Thanks to you, I knew what a brony was when I went to AC. Also, I enjoyed the Applejack and Rainbow Dash fursuiters more than I would have otherwise. I wanted to thank Shiva for her comments on bisexuality. It gets really annoying when people assume that someone who is bisexual is more likely to be promiscuous. As Shiva notes, gender isn't always relevant to attraction.
Yay!
To Fuzz, I am glad you pushed your mom to go to the ER. Chemo is certainly difficult. My brother is currently going through it. But with your support, I am sure it will be easier. Thank you. Also, belated birthday wishes to Saverin. Leisurely yours, a Massachusetts sloth.
Yay! And like a sloth would be, he's just a little late, but that's okay. Sloths are pretty cool.
Cool.
Did I close the window?
What did you spake?
I have destroyed everything forever.
Saverin has fucked up the show again.
God, why do I even... Why Saverin exist?
Phil show with Pet Trill.
Well, you have an email to read, don't you, Shiva?
Yeah.
Read an email.
I'm just waiting for you guys to finish flailing about the wildling.
I'm just sitting here. Saverin's flailing.
I accidentally closed the Gmail window. Browsed away from it somehow.
Well, that was really fucking stupid.
I know, right? God.
Completely unrecoverable. It's lost forever.
Nice going, ass.
Anywho. Come on, you. Subject. It's a horror story, sort of. Hey there, Notcast. Risk here. Now, I'm not sure if my story counts as a horror story or not, but the one time Furry broke out of the internet for me, it sort of bit me in the ass. I played it being an artist and a writer, and when I do, I usually keep everything belonging to these two subjects in the same place. A few years ago, I was crushing hard on a boy I met online, and following several chat sessions, I wrote some gay furry smut that was essentially about us. It was poor by all standards, but I kept it in my notebook just in case I wanted to try and iron it out later. Unfortunately, this is the same notebook that held some of my sketches, and at the time, I'd been focusing on two very flamboyant designs. By some horrendous twist of bad luck, the notebook got left lying around somewhere in my house, and my mother flipped through it. When she found a picture of a pink and purple squirrel person, she decided to look deeper. Long story short, she found every one of my sketches, read through every one of my drafts, and found out that I was both gay and furry all in the same day.
Dun dun dun.
Fast forward to now, we're getting somewhere on the gay bit. She's tolerant enough of it, especially since I've decided to keep it from the rest of the family till I move out. I've got two younger siblings, both with issues of their own, and I don't want my personal life to get tangled up with them till they're older and more stable. What I found more surprising is that she has major issues with the furry aspect of her life. In her eyes, the entire subject is pornography and psychologically dangerous. The fact that I'm seeing a therapist for different issues doesn't help. Major depression disorder, which is completely under control now. For some reason, I have the hardest time trying to talk to her about her in any rational sense. But with less than a year till I move out, it seems less and less important. Other than that one instance, I can't really think of any times furry has actually affected my life. And with my plans for foie almost assuredly canceled, I can't really see it coming into play anytime soon, unless I meet some furs at Dragon Con with my boyfriend, which I'm going to, mostly because, since I'm going with people I know, it's almost impossible for me to wind up awkward and alone all weekend. Dragon Con is a huge con. I know quite a couple of furs that go to it or used to. It's a good chance that you'll be able to find a room party or some other get-together, so hold up to hope for that. A huge fantasy con. Keep it up, guys. I really hope that my story is the worst you get. Risk. P.S. I'd also like to extend my sympathies to Fuzz. While I've never had any family member go through what his is, one of my closest friends barely survived a bout with cancer last year. In the end, she got through, but they had to remove most of the bones in her legs. Regardless, it's not an easy thing to go to, and I hope his mom makes it through okay. All right. I can't talk.
That's okay.
But, yeah, I can see, yeah, that would be a bad way to get introduced to both furry and
by the way, just dropping it on you.
Yeah, she probably assumes that it's all porn because that was the aspect of it that she encountered. Plus, any media exposure she's had to it would basically focus on that. Well, any mainstream
now,
media,
see,
anyway.
That's the thing, because I saw today Dragoneer posted a like breakdown of the amount of like porn to non-porn on FA.
Yeah, it was
it's like
staggering,
3.5 million pieces of clean to like less than 500,000 explicit, and another 500,000 mature. So the porn on FA is seriously like a quarter of the art.
No, it's less than that.
Yeah, but it's like, it's less than a quarter of the art on FA is porn. And this slightly blew my mind, but, you know, I was like, wow, that's cool that they're able to break it down like that.
Well, because you select general, mature, or adult.
Well, hopefully, and you flag it right.
right. But I can't find the damn link.
He tweeted it, I thought.
Yeah, but did he tweet it on the FA account or on his own account?
On the FA account.
Oh, that'd be why I couldn't find it on Dragoneer's Twitter account.
The FA account is not, like, super active. They're not too spammy, so it's probably easy to find.
Yep.
Are you looking for that to give a specific number?
Yeah, because that's really actually interesting to
That's very interesting.
It is interesting information and
relevant to this
email. And relevant to the conversation. Okay, so Fur Affinity site statistics. This is linked off the Twitter account of Fur Affinity. And all right, just total number of submissions, general submissions, 3,493,103 files. Mature, 532,855. Adult, 486,858. There is no denying that there is a ton of porn, but it is not
the majority.
The majority.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you add the two together, mature and adult.
Now,
the submissions. Wow, they've updated this further since the last time I looked at it.
So they've got, like, they even broke it down by the count of the files, the views of those files, and the favorites among the files. Now, the general and mature have about the same amount of views per file overall, but then the adult has less than half of that, or it's about a third of it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have the picture most favorited ever?
I don't know. But like the average view per sub, the mature stuff actually has more views per sub than the porn, but then again, the general has the least because. Well, people like their porn. And the mature stuff, again, has more favorites than the straight-up porn, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the pin-up stuff?
Yeah, so like the favorites, 42% of the favorites are the general stuff. 28% is mature, and just 13.7% is adult. I guess it also might have something of a stigma of people not wanting to favorite porn, because it shows up in your favorites right there.
Favorite porn all the time.
Beyond that, that's really it. There's like they get a shit ton of trouble tickets per day. Well,
yeah,
that's to be expected. They've shit got. Breaks.
I was also interested in the approximately 11,700 new accounts on average per month that are created.
Yep.
Which some of that is, you know, people changing usernames and stuff like that.
People ban-evading.
But a lot of that is like, how many new furs discover this site every month? Well, you know?
I've got two accounts. I've got my account, which I post, you know, the Shiva Cat one, where I post my art, the stuff that I draw, and it's like actually the stuff I put to paper. And then I've got an account that I post all my commissions and other stuff to. I felt weird putting it in the same one because I didn't want to, in any way, shape, or form, give the impression that I'm claiming it for my own. So I've got two accounts just because it's safer for me that way. I didn't want to get any kind of shit of, you're a thief, you're ripping off art, you're claiming it's yours. It's like, no.
Zumga art theft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just for safe, I separated the two and called it good.
Wait, what was the separation? The other one was commissions?
Yeah, stuff other people drew of my characters.
I notice a lot of people do that.
Yeah, well, it's mostly people who do their own content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just safer. It keeps us from getting accused of stealing.
Right.
Yeah, so big disclaimer, not my art.
Right.
Yep. All right, so onward to the last email.
That's you.
And this one is another douchebag email. Not the author, but dealing with douchebags.
Oh, okay.
Relevant to 143, but hopefully I'm not too late to be read. Dear Notcast, I've been a douchebag. First, let me explain some background. In around 2007, I got sick of stringing along my 2002 vintage Pentium 4 desktop PC. Between downtime, maintenance, software updates, security patches, and anti-shitware scans, I was edging below 50% uptime. This was so far beyond the pale that calling it unacceptable is comically underwhelming. I got my first Mac. It was candy-coated visuals, slick and responsive, though at the time I had an anemic hard drive. I was in lust, if not love. For the next 5 years, I was mocked for having a Mac about once every 2 weeks in college. This is a conservative estimate. Fast forward to last week. Our back end at work was fucked up again. Someone commented that the solution was obvious. I should use Windows. Since then, the rage has been on a slow simmer. So, the back end at work was fucked up, therefore you should use Windows. That makes sense. Fast forward to yesterday, I posted a journal mentioning the last software update has broken my scanner and that I had done nothing productive since then, and that sketches had been piling up. Someone apologized, saying he didn't do Mac stuff. Okay, no hair off my ass. Someone else suggested scanning it at a low resolution and jacking it up in the R program. Okay, fine, that's useless. I can't scan it all, and I get the sketch in a resolution not suitable for working on. Problem was, the post ended in, also, stop using a Mac. You should use Linux. No, they didn't say Linux. I let 5 years of frustration not really boil over, but at least take up a little. There was a four-paragraph response along the lines of Windows is a maintenance nightmare full of crapware, lowest beta hardware. That's painful to work with. It ended up with a brief apology that's not directed to so much.
Oh, you motherfuckers are going to pay.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers. Yes.
And we're going to make you eat our shit and then shit out our shit and then eat our shit that you shit out.
Bitches. Let's see.
We hope that that little dramatization properly characterized your email.
And everyone said commenters should stop holding strong opinions about things they don't understand. This anti-Mac crap has gone from mildly irritating to raging mad-on of a pet peeve. I'm sick the fuck of this sort of petty bullshit. Macs are not crap and may or may not be better, but they have reached parity and I have the benchmarks to prove it. Some people need to understand this sort of things. They may only ever say once, but others might hear daily. And once is sort of irritating, but if you keep it up, people, you must understand that chronic inflammation causes cancer. You're going to give someone cancer of the motherfucking soul, and bad things are going to happen. To you. And I'll tie it to the topic. This sort of petty bullshit is leaving me to deal with people I know and meet space just a little more pissed off than I should be. Other than that, I've been monstrously paranoid to keep from breaking this particular fourth wall, considering I draw some really raunchy stuff, even by fandom standards. If you don't already know, you probably don't want to. I know that I'm missing out, and you're only a college kid once, but the whole nothing until you're financially independent thing has been in full force, even though both parents have dropped at least one hint of various intensities they're not afraid of to gay. I've always been pretty good at doing without. You think this is the right sort of strategy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Chronitus.
Chronthus. The anus destroyer.
Now, if I look on your FA, am I going to be blinded with science?
Actually, no. It looks like a journal entry.
Yeah, it's just a PDF copy of the...
Well, no, no, no. I meant, like, if I looked up his FA.
I don't know. I've looked it up.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that. The guy's a douchebag. I mean, honestly, you fucking useless fucker. You know, oh, I can't help you, but lol, Mac. It was like the dumb fucker that thought it would be hilarious to be like, lol, iPod, when my iPod died.
Yeah, I can't believe somebody said that.
What's wrong with you? What makes you think that was in any way appropriate, you dumb motherfucker?
Like, and on another thing, back when I was helping a friend with a web server that he had, and it had an issue. And he was running a Windows like server. 2000? Yeah, Windows 2003, like the server.
That shit's pretty stable.
Stable. Well, what happened was a hard drive failure, and this fucking pinhead at the hosting company walked by and said, "Well, you should be using Linux on that." And it's like, really, Linux can prevent hard drive failures? That's fucking amazing. It's like, God, and you know, any other MP3 player could just as easily have a hardware failure, especially after being used constantly for like 4 years.
The thing is about this is, I hear, you know, Windows is crap from Mac users. Mac users hear it from Windows that, you know, they're inferior, they can't play games, whatever the current line of bullshit is. You got two camps very against each other, and, you know, you like Macs, fine. Other people's like PC. I get shit tired of getting shit from Mac users being told that, ha-ha, Bill Gates, whatever the fucking bullshit that goes along with
it. Who fucking says that, though, honestly?
Says what?
That what she was saying. I'm like, honestly, Mac users... I mean, yeah, there's going to be people that are like, get a Mac, but the whole Bill Gates thing hasn't been true since, like, the fucking 90s.
No. Yeah, the whole Windows is crap.
Yeah, that's still very prevalent, yeah. Dude. Every time I have some kind of problem with anything on my computer, I get, you shouldn't be using Windows or get a Mac. is a response.
Yeah, that's...
I haven't encountered it as much with my phone, though. If I complain about something on my phone, I don't get as much anti-droid stuff, which is weird. But I get anti-Windows shit all the time. So
basically, let me just put it down there. If you're going to be anti-OS, you're just a cunt, and you should probably slap your own shit. But stop it.
My point is that it wouldn't be any better if you were on a Windows. The moment you had problems, you're going to have someone piping up of, this is why you should get a Mac.
It's my iPod. Like, it was a fucking hard drive failure. That's physical hardware. That has nothing to do with the the producer. The manufacturer of the hard drive, some, you know, horrible place to work in China. Well, that's where you're going to get any of your hard drives, sorry.
I had a hard drive failure myself earlier this year, so, you know, it's par for the course. I mean, you're tired of getting shit. Windows people are tired of hearing the same shit. We're happy with what we're happy. Leave us alone. But don't let them get wound up about it. I mean, honestly, it's a fucking computer platform. It's no skin off your nose if somebody says anything about it. Really, you're getting wound up over fucking nothing.
Oh, man, I'd be taking a complete different tack.
Why?
I'm sorry, you should totally get wound up. Because that kind of attitude that fuck Mac, fuck Windows is bullshit. You call those fucking people out every chance you get.
No, I mean, it's not anything to get wound up about.
You don't have to get, like, blood pressure through the roof, heart-poundingly mad about it. But if more people actually said, no, fuck you, that shit's not funny, then maybe eventually we would put that kind of attitude in the ground where it belongs.
Because, like...
I don't... You know, that water off a duck's back shit only goes so far.
Well, that was,
and on the internet, it goes nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's
just
why
my opinion.
I replied in the extreme negative to the person who said that. And they got butthurt and probably unfollowed the show and whatever, and that's not my problem. I don't care. But it's like, you know, that's...
The show
got eaten and destroyed, and you fuckers thought it was funny. Well, fuck you.
Oh, I just don't get that wound up about the fucking OS I use.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't really hear it. It's like, if people go, lol, MacFag or whatever, I'm like, well, fuck you. It does what I need it to do.
Yeah, that's basically it. I don't feel a need to take up the crusade and defend it. You know?
It doesn't need to be defended. Yeah, just say, fuck you. It does what I need it to do.
I'm not defending anything. I'm just saying, fuck your attitude. Not you, the person giving me shit for whatever it is. Because, you know, I'm getting it from three ways. I'm like a fox, you know.
In each hole.
I'm getting... fuck your Android phone, fuck your Apple iPad, fuck your Windows desktop. You know, I've gotten it all at various points, and I just say, fuck your attitude.
Seriously, you know.
It's kind of like, I'm not going to win. I mean, I could tell them to fuck you, but
it's
they're not going to listen
tribalism.
To me. You know.
Ooh, you've got your, you know. But that's the thing. It's like, I got Win 7 on here in my Mac, so I can play certain video games.
You know, I've been sarcastic and shit in the past. You know, I've said shit like there's nothing wrong with a Mac that installing Windows can't fix. And what's ironic about that is you've kind of shrugged and agreed with me because you wanted to play some games or something. But, you know, that's like all in good fun. But when your Mac fucking dies on you for whatever reason, I'm not going to be all
PC
like...
Or your Linux box or
Yeah,
anything.
Or whatever it is. I'm not all going to be like, use my whatever
flavor.
You should flavor.
Use, you know, this obscure Linux distro that requires human sacrifice to reboot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul shards of seven innocent children to
install. blood.exe.
Yeah. You know, seriously. That's like the pettiest of bullshit. And it's... doesn't have a place in society. It really doesn't. Because, you know, it's like, look, I use this because it works. I use that because it works. And what the fuck does it matter to you? Suck a fuck. Goddamn.
Suck a fuck is a really good way to end the episode.
Yeah, this episode went from, like, silly to grumpy pretty quick. Damn it.
Well, somebody mentioned Mac versus PC, and that was just enough to...
Like the, well, you know, thinking of Star Trek recently, you know, when Klingons, when a Klingon dies, and they all do the fucking Klingon yell to warn Klingon heaven that a warrior is approaching. That's my reaction when, like, the Mac PC shit comes up. It's the same when, like, some politics come up. I'm just like, ah!
So, hey, on that note, we are, like, going really dark. Damn it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that.
Yep. And there's the crash to end the show. Good night, everybody.
Big balls?
No.
What the fuck did you break?